Farmer Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Going to be speaking with Mrs. Ann Armstrong here in just half a minute or so.
Here comes Scandalous John. He can howl like a coyote and ride like the wind, but he can't survive in the new chrome-plated West. Land grabbers are coming to pave the prairies, but Scandalous John is ready for them. See Scandalous John, a different motion picture from Walt Disney Productions. Scored by Rod McEwen, rated G.
Scandalous John opens Friday at the United Artists Cinema Stonestown in the Stonestown Shopping Center, and July 9th at Town and Country in San Jose.
This is the time when blazing summer heat accompanies you on every auto trip, along with dust and dirt, humidity, and exhaust odors. This is the time, the right time, to have Sears Auto Air Conditioning installed in your car. The performance of factory air conditioning, but with Sears Economy. Sears Auto Air Conditioning, comparable to the features, styles, and performance of factory air, but at Sears prices.
This week you can save over $42 on air conditioners on sale as low as $177.88. Plus installation at all Sears Automotive Centers. Okay, Gene Nelson on KSFO, and in our continuing study of extrasensory perception and related fields, my guest tonight is Mrs. Ann Armstrong, wife, mother, and psychic. Is that a good description? She's conducted workshops at a lot of places, including Stanford University and the Esalen Institute. She's been there. And you were one of the colleges up around Sacramento, had a...
At Davis, that's right. Davis had an ESP symposium, and I was one of the guests.
And you were there as a guest speaker, too. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for coming, and I really appreciate the fact that you drove all the way down from Sacramento to be here, and because we had arranged it that maybe I could do the interview by phone, but I much prefer looking someone in the eye when I talk to them, and I appreciate you going to the extra effort of being here, very much so. When did you first discover that you had psychic abilities?
Well, the article that was written in the Chronicle stated 12 years ago. However, let's say that this was really a rediscovery.
12 years ago.
Ability, because the first experiences that I had were when I was about 22, and that's a long time ago. Very long time ago.
What were the first experiences?
The first experiences I had were out-of-the-body experiences. The feeling of leaving my body every time I would lie down.
Every time?
Almost every time without exception. The sensation that the minute I would relax and let down and let go of my control as a personality, the sensation I would have would be one of spiraling out of my body. And next thing I would know, I'd find myself on the ceiling looking back at my body, which became extremely frightening to me.
You would see yourself, and you would see yourself as I see you now?
That's right.
Almost as looking at yourself in a mirror.
That's right.
And what is the sensation that you had? I mean, you looking at yourself now, what would you feel then? As you feel now, or a whole different sense?
Well, you have, in other words, you have a recollection of what the body feels. So you take your senses with you. And the sensation is that you have taken your body with you, however you have not. A part of you has actually split off from your body, and you're able to look back at it. And this is probably one of the most common experiences that people have, and they can be very frightening.
Oh, it just scare you to death.
Because the feeling they have is that our consciousness is limited to the space occupied by our body. You see, it isn't.
And it is not.
And I've really found this out. Now, oftentimes this will happen like during an operation when they're under the influence of ether. Oftentimes someone who's been operated on will look back and actually see their body.
But this is not... when you say you leave your body, it's not a physical leaving. In other words, if I were there when the experience took place, what would I see? I would see, let's say you're lying on a couch. I would see only you lying on a couch. Is that correct?
That's right. You would see me lying down on the couch. However, I would have the sensation of looking at my body like my consciousness. In other words, to me, our consciousness is mobile. It's a mobile center. Most of the time, it is confined to the physical body. On occasion... spontaneously we get out. Other people can actually do it in a planned way. In other words, they have learned how to get out of their body at will.
Wherever they want to.
Whenever they want to. It's quite an art. But it isn't something that happens to you.
But for what reason? Why would someone want to do that if they could? What does it allow you to do?
Like any new experience, it allows you to see the whole thing from a different perspective. You know, like being in a building and being able to look out of another window. What's the view like from there?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it gives you a whole different perspective of how you're put together.
Now, this first happened when you were 22. Right. You'd had no experiences at all up until that time.
And this came as a result of meditation. So it seems that when you concentrate, it's when you produce this condition that allows you to step out of the body.
Had you ever been interested in the whole subject of psychic experiences, extrasensory perception, before you had this particular experience? Did you have any background?
I had no background. I was raised a Catholic, so this was, you know, taboo to me. However, mm-hmm. I met my husband, who was very much turned on to this, and he brought me all kinds of literature, and I became very interested. In other words, you know, when you have a feeling in here of you want to know something different, and all of a sudden it comes along, and you see this is the way, what's out here is what you feel in here. All of mm-hmm. a sudden the whole thing got put together, and I got interested in anything that had to do with extrasensory perception.
But this was after the experience you had, or
before?
This was before.
This was when I was about 16.
So you had some idea, did you have some idea what was happening to you then when it did happen the first time? Did you, because of the reading that you'd done, you'd said, oh, this is what I've read about?
I had ideas of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it happens to you, it's something different. But see, most literature gives you the impression that if you leave your body, another entity roaming around could step in, and there's a possibility that you wouldn't be able to get back in.
Of a devil taking control.
A devil mm-hmm. or a negative force or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. I don't believe that now. However, at that time, I was rather naive. And the feeling was my body wasn't that healthy, that desirable, but still one I had. So I better hang around and take care of it.
Now, that time you couldn't control it. It was just whenever you lay down, you'd have this experience.
It would happen. Also, it wasn't just when I would lie down. Like, for instance, if I would go to a lecture and all of a sudden I would find myself concentrating on the lecture, then I would experience a splitting off of myself, almost like there were two of me, and I would begin to split. And oftentimes I would look to the side of me very suspiciously, fully expecting to find another part of myself there, that it was that real.
But have you now reached the point where you can control it?
No, I can't do it except on spontaneous occasion. In other words, anything that causes fear within you, causes conditioning, and you build up a resistance against that condition. And I fought it, you know, for so long, for about 2 years, to the point where I cannot do it at will now, which I consider to be somewhat of a loss. I wish that now I think it'd be a very groovy experience, but now I can't do it.
But it can still happen to you, as you say,
spontaneously.
But you don't know when or where it's going to take place.
I can't say I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have it happened. Which is too bad.
What is the term for that, leaving your body? There's a term.
Astral projection.
Yes, that's
right,
the term.
That's the term.
Astral projection. It's 19 past 9 o'clock. Gene Nelson, I'm speaking with Mrs. Ann Armstrong, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
And now, returning for another season, Dr. Frank Morton with the original Financial Hospital of the Air. Doctor, this is Elmer Gimbel.
Mr. Gimbel, let me just glance at your financial record.
Is it serious?
It doesn't look good. What's this?
My last investment.
Glow in the Dark Ties?
Glow in the Dark Ties with movie star pictures on them.
Is that one you have on?
Yeah.
Unfortunate. Whose picture is that?
Jumping Jim Cartwright.
It looks like a frog.
He is.
Oh?
I lost my investment.
Understandable. I'd like to recommend a simple but effective remedy, a Bank of America investor's passbook.
How do I use it?
Start with a minimum investment of $500 and leave it for at least 2 years.
Will it help?
You'll earn a healthy 5.75% annual interest, and it's the safest and surest investment I can recommend.
Yes, but 5.75%.
3/4%. Yes. Pick it up at any Bank of America branch.
Thanks, Doc.
Glow in the dark ties. Next.
Bank of America, member FDIC.
Okay, you've got your money.
I don't.
I got yours.
All right. Now, don't let your little brother eat a lot of junk now.
I'll eat it.
You better not. And don't forget to thank Mr. McVeigh for taking you to the game.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Tuck in your shirt, Alan.
When you finally get the kids out of the house, suddenly it's quiet. And you have time to sit down and gather your wits over a cup of hot coffee. At moments like this, you can appreciate the extra care we take with MJB. The delicious aroma. The rich, full-bodied flavor. Coffee this good is no accident. To put out a consistently satisfying coffee, you have to be consistently fussy. That's why MJB is the coffee that never disappoints.
We forgot our sign.
What you doing, Mom?
But believe it or not, Jeffrey, your poor old mother is actually sitting down.
MJB. There's a lot of care in every cup.
My guest tonight, Mrs. Ann Armstrong of Sacramento, wife, mother, and psychic. Primarily psychic is what we're discussing tonight. Is there a particular kind of psychic that you are? I know there are various descriptions for various kinds. Are you categorized as one kind or another?
I think sensitivity, you know, manifests in a variety of ways. My interest seems to be with people, and so naturally I have sort of focused my attention using my psychic ability there in the field of counseling.
Now, what happens when you counsel someone? Let's say I've heard of you and what you can do, so I call you. Would I have a specific problem if I called you, as if I were going to a doctor? Would that generally be the case?
Well,
or a curiosity seeker, or what kind of people call you?
Usually I interview people pretty thoroughly over the phone. For instance, if they want to come for future predictions, for things of that nature, you know, information about the stock market, this is not the area that I deal in. I don't feel that I'm proficient at that, and I'd rather not do it. I'm primarily interested in the persons, like the space that they're in, what they're like, so that what I seem to be able to do is to describe the space that they're in, the alternatives that are open to them to bring about certain changes in their lives, like to help them to see themselves more clearly, perhaps help them to see themselves as the other members of the family are experiencing them. We all have a fantasy about how we're coming across to someone. It may not be accurate at all. So this, what I do is seem to be able to identify very closely with the person. Like if I could identify with you and see you from an unbiased point of view, that information might be different from the way you would perceive yourself.
And you say you can do that over the telephone primarily, or do you?
No,
do
I interview people over
first.
The telephone to make sure that they're going to get from me, you know, what I'm able to offer.
And what they're looking for.
What they're looking for, so that I clarify that. I'm really interested more in people's development, in their, you know, in self-improvement, that type of thing.
And that's generally what they're looking for, then,
right.
When they come to you. They say, I want to...
Right. If a person is just simply there out of curiosity, I don't feel that I'm interested really improving what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in using my energy to help people understand themselves better.
Okay, then once you've established the preliminary interview over the phone and you've found those things out and you've said, well, all right, I do think I can help you, then you make an appointment and you see them face to face.
Right, yeah.
Then what happens in your relationship with this person?
Well, I work on a purely spontaneous basis. So let's say I had no preconceived notion of what I'm going to find out, because I'm firmly convinced that there's a part of each one of us that knows exactly where we're at and the kind of information we should have. So that I turn myself loose, I become like a very subtle electronic instrument, you know, tuning into the person, sensing the needs, really scanning, like scanning the whole organism mentally, physically, and spiritually, and finding the hang-ups, like where are the tension areas, where are the problem areas, and oftentimes coming up with specifics about how the condition originated in the first place.
Mm-hmm. How do these kinds of things come to you? Now, when you're talking to a person, do you... You get mental pictures, or do words pop in your head, or?
Well, there are different kinds of sensitivity. Now, some people see clairvoyantly. In other words, they see very vivid pictures, like I'm looking at you. I seem to have a combination of things. For instance, sometimes I will get an image of a person. I will get a picture of the happening. At other times, I just have a very deep sense of knowing, intuitive knowing, like, you know, feeling it in your bones.
Mm-hmm.
So that after a while, you know, when you've worked with this much, as long as I have, you begin to recognize the quality of a feeling, and the quality of that feeling tells you what is going on. For instance, I use my body as a model. So if I experience sadness within me, I will know that it belongs to the person that I'm talking to, and then I ask myself, why is this sadness there? Or why is this tension there? But really, I'm using my body, as, you know, to perceive as a sensing instrument. Through identification. Only I've come to recognize what is mine and what belongs to someone else.
Does this happen? Must you make this happen? Must you concentrate and put yourself in a frame of mind? Or do you get these kind of feelings about people sometimes spontaneously at a cocktail party, and you walk up to a person and suddenly you feel something about them more than what I would feel about walking up to a complete stranger and meeting them face to face?
No, I don't. In other words, I would not know any more about a complete stranger than you would. And this is because I've trained myself to just turn off. A lot of psychics can't do this. And, it's a bad trip for them, because They're constantly being bombarded with input, and what can they do with it? Hmm. But I have gotten to the place where I can control it. In other words, when I go into my den and I sit down and I close my eyes, I mentally prepare myself. And I know how to get into that state. When I'm through with the interview, it's turned off.
It's all over.
It's all over with, and I'm right back to me again. So it's like leading a double life.
Which actually would be better, I think, than the other way around. If you couldn't turn it off, it would seem to me it would be a great burden, having all these things flying through your head all the time.
On occasion, when the when the energy field out there is strong enough, all of a sudden I am turned on spontaneously, but it doesn't happen very often.
Hmm. 26 and a half past 9 o'clock. Gene Nelson, I'm speaking with Mrs. Ann Armstrong. We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment. Today through Saturday, July 3rd, you can shop and save during the huge pre-4th of July sale at all five Capwells: Oakland, Walnut Creek, El Cerrito, Hayward, and Fremont. This is your chance to buy top quality at rock-bottom prices. For example, boys' crew neck short-sleeve cotton-knit shirts in rich stripes, sizes 8 to 18, are sale price just $2.29 each. You can compare these boys' shirts at $3 and pay only $2.29 each or $2.44.40. Save on a clearance of quilted bedspreads, available in a great selection of prints and colors, twin or full sizes. Compare at $19.99 to $24.99. The Capwell sale price is just $13.99. Women's luxurious nylon gowns and pretty pastels compare at $5 to $6 with a sale price of only $3.99. There's all this and much more in sensational pre-4th of July sale now going on at all five Capwell stores. 28 past 9, KSFO in San Francisco.
We used to build cast iron engines, and we've built some all-aluminum engines, too. Not anymore. At Toyota, we've spent 34 years learning where it makes sense to use cast iron and where it makes sense to use aluminum. We've learned that engine blocks, camshafts, crankshafts, and pushrods, the parts that take the most wear, have to be cast iron tough. And we've learned that housings and manifolds should be engineered to dissipate heat quickly in order to reduce wear even more. So at those points, we use aluminum. You see, Toyota doesn't just build economy cars. Toyota builds economy cars that last. You learn how to do that. And you learn how to do it economically when that's all you do. And at Toyota, that's all we've been doing for 34 years.
Visit your nearby Toyota dealer and get your hands on a Toyota you'll never let go. Mrs. Ann Armstrong is my special guest tonight. I first got interested in Mrs. Armstrong. There was an article on the woman's page in the Chronicle, an interview that was done with Mrs. Armstrong, I guess, about a month ago, was it not?
Right.
That told some interesting stories. And one of the things the article talked about was experiences that you have had where you felt there were other people who inhabited your body at a given time, very much like the Three Faces of Eve, that story, which was made into a movie. You want to tell us something about that, of who these people were and what the experience was like?
Well, this was the second time around. In other words, this happened about 12 years ago. And this came as a result of trying to get rid of the migraine headaches I'd had since I was 9. So at that point, the migraine headaches became so intense that I sought out hypnotherapy treatment. And during the hypnotic states, or when I would go into the session, I begin to contact what seemed to be past life experiences. And the way I put it together, at least now that I'm a little more aware and in retrospect, is that I use these vehicles or these other personalities to let out my own aggression and to really, for the first time in my life, to express my emotions. Because the headaches, the migraine headaches, were the result of repression. So that it's possible that there was a parallel situation. In other words, the emotional states here in my present life as Anne triggered actual past life experiences of my own. Or maybe, since I am a psychic and you're not limited to the time in the now, you have the ability to go back into history, mm-hmm. and pick up other vehicles, like picking up a part, like if you were a star. A movie mm-hmm. actor is picking up a part and acting it out and feel experiencing it as your own, but at the same time allowing your emotions to be expressed for the first time.
So you don't necessarily feel that this was reincarnation then?
I don't really know. Mm-hmm. See, when it was happening, it was so vivid. I mean, I relived those things from the time, those past life experiences from the time of birth to death. I could write books about them. They were that detailed.
How many people were there? How many?
Well, I had probably a total of 15 or 20, but there were...
That many?
Oh, yeah, but there were three or four that really stood out in vivid detail. You know, more detail than others.
Were they all females, or...?
No, the first one I contacted, oddly enough, was a male.
And who was he?
He called himself Antonius of Rome and seemed to be an athlete at the arena in Rome about 2,000 years ago.
Now, when you felt communication with him, did you feel it as a voice from him, that kind of communication, or again, feeling certain things? How did it happen?
I felt like I was inside of the body. In other
of
words,
his body.
I felt two perspectives. Because at that moment, I seemed to develop the ability to really split myself. It's almost as if a part of Anne has always been in control. No matter how far out I go, there's a part of me that is always watching, like a witness to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But yet this other part of me is so free to completely involve itself with any action that, you know, that pertained to that past life. And I would get up and I would act out all of the athletic feats. I would simulate, you know, riding a horse, climbing stairs. There was a lot of action in the very first contact that I made. It's almost as if it was a perfect vehicle to allow me to express all kinds of emotions and all kinds of activity.
But these are things that you ordinarily could not do?
I could not do, absolutely not. But somehow, because I was contacting these other personalities who seemed to be able to do these things, I took on their knowledge and I was able to act it out, which was a very peculiar situation. But as I tell people, it was the most creative form of therapy. It really was. It was fun. For 2 years, when I used to go to a therapy session, it was like going to a sneak preview because I never knew what was going to happen.
Was it only under hypnosis, though, that this would happen?
After about three or four sessions with hypnosis, or maybe about a month, I discovered that I was able to put myself into the trance state or the light hypnotic state or deep, whatever I wished. You know, at will.
By yourself.
So I would simply lie down and say, okay, I'm ready to go to work now. So we didn't have to go through the whole process of induction anymore.
I want to talk some more about that in just a moment. It's 26 and a half before 10. Jean Nelson with my special guest, Mrs. Ann Armstrong, who is a very interesting lady today and has evidently been a very interesting lady in past times, too.
When you got tired of me, I told myself it just can't be, yeah. When you got tired of me, I thought you'd be back, but now. Come on back, let's try it one more time.
Life sure can get deep sometimes. When it does, take time out for Bush. We brew Bush for only one thing, quality. So take a break, see where you are, and have a Bush. Bush does it like no other beer. And we can prove it.
Get back to my conversation with Mrs. Armstrong in just a moment.
This is the time when blazing summer heat accompanies you on every auto trip, along with dust and dirt, humidity, and exhaust odors.
This is the time, the right time, to have Sears Auto Air Conditioning installed in your car.
The performance of factory air conditioning, but with Sears Economy.
Sears Auto Air Conditioning, comparable to the features, styles, and performance of factory air, but at Sears prices.
This week, you can save over $42 on air conditioners on sale as low as $177.88, plus installation at all Sears Automotive Centers.
Need money for a car, vacation, or a pool? Then you'll want to enter United California Bank's interest-free personal loan sweepstakes for California residents 21 or over. If you apply for a UCB personal loan and it's approved, you may win it interest-free. If you don't apply, you can still win a cash prize or, on approval, an interest-free loan. Since there'll be a sweepstakes winner for every 50 loans approved until July 31st, there are still plenty of chances to win. Fill out an entry blank at any United California bank today.
Mrs. Ann Armstrong, my special guest tonight, we were just talking about the fact that she had felt other personalities. Well, not so much that they were inhabiting your body, but you say that you left yours and inhabited theirs.
Well, it was a parallel thing. In other words, the two of us were present there at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, one was Antonio?
Antonius of Rome.
Antonius of Rome. Who were the other people? You say there were three that were really specifically strong.
Antonius seemed, it was the first one that emerged. That was a male athlete weighing well over 200 pounds and really, you know, like representing the strength within Anne that never had a chance to come out. The second one that emerged was a Siamese temple dancer. She was very petite. The feeling I had was that I was smaller than I am now. But I did some very creative dancing, especially with my hands. I seemed to know all of the movements, and better known as mudras, performed by Indian dancers or Siamese dancers.
Which you can't do.
Which I'd had no training for. So during one of the sessions, I actually got up and moved around the room very freely as if I'd been trained to do this kind of thing all my life. And so part of me at the same time was watching with amazement. It's like watching myself, you know, moving through this brand new experience and wondering, where is it coming from? Mm-hmm. Being fascinated with my own performance, if you can imagine that.
But yeah, I'm trying to picture that. You know, it's very difficult to try to identify. I think the closest that I have ever come, and it's happened to me a few times, in acting and doing some acting, of being on stage, and on nights when the concentration is probably not as good as it should be on stage, and realizing that there you are going through this movement, and you're appraising your performance as
exactly.
you walk through it, saying, "Oh, I didn't do that line right, and I don't," and so on. And it is almost like standing apart from what's going on, like you're a spectator to the whole scene.
Right. But
I've experienced that, but that's the closest
I can
think. But
that's very close, because you find this other part of you moving through the thing automatically. You know, you don't have to think about it, and the other part of you is critiquing the whole performance.
Just watching it,
and it's weird.
Putting on your own movies, right?
Putting on your own movies.
So that was the second. There was the dancer. And then who was the third
individual?
The
third one seemed to be an Egyptian female, rather tall. And she seemed to be a composite of the first two. But she expressed psychic ability. In other words, this is the first time that I thought of the possibility of my, you know, expressing psychic ability. And it came in the form of this Egyptian personality. It seemed to be kind of a witchy character. I call myself the Black Witch. You know, I gave myself very, very dramatic roles, very dramatic parts, because after all, I've had kind of a dull, you know, dull existence up until now. And so she came up with all kinds of weird things that she could do, like control other people and really be able to see things at a distance. I remember one of the, apparently I had some very, very elegant costumes and jewelry, and I remember one ring that I wore on this first finger, and it was a moonstone. And the fantasy I had that I could look into that moonstone and know everything that was happening anyplace else. And I actually moved through this experience, really experiencing what it would be like to know what was happening someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fascinating thing to me. But this is how I accepted that perhaps I was psychic and that I could use my ability in other ways other than leaving my body as I had done, you know, 12 years.
Which was just kind of a fun thing. So when did you decide to get into to counseling and that kind of stuff? That's really what you do, is counseling with other individuals.
This is my major thing. Now, I also do workshops. But how this came about was through my therapist. My therapist was a woman in Sacramento who does hypnotherapy. And we were, you know, after you find out you have psychic abilities, well, some of the first questions you ask yourself, well, what can you do with it?
Yeah.
And so she started handing me case folders, you know, without opening them, and tell me, okay, what's wrong with this person? You know, what space are they in? What's the psychological blocks? What caused it? And I found that I came up with answers. So I began to work with some of her patients that were kind of hard cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know, she just really couldn't get any definite information on. She would give me these to work on. And so this is how I realized that I could get answers for myself and get answers for other people, too. So it was a natural step. However, she pushed me into it.
Do you spend a lot of time counseling, or do
most
you...
Most of the day, yes.
Most of the day.
And you have
regular patients
right,
that you see.
Yeah.
And most of these people
not
that
patients,
are...
Not patients, they're clients.
Okay.
They're people,
yeah.
You know. I'd rather see them that way.
Right. But when I say patients,
yeah.
I was thinking that the one thing they would all have in common, I would imagine, is people with some kind of... Well, they're not satisfied,
I would imagine,
with themselves as they are. Is that right?
Right.
Very much the same kinds of people who might seek a psychiatrist in
exactly.
another situation would come to you.
And this is just another way of exploring the possibilities of how you can get well and where
mm-hmm.
you're at. It's just another one more tool. That's all it is.
Right. Because I was going to ask if you could demonstrate with me something of what you do with your clients, but I don't feel a specific problem that I would come to you with, and without that, there's not much we could do. Is there or is there?
No, I don't know. Why don't we talk a little bit longer and let me sort of feel it out.
Okay, yeah, good. Okay. I might mention to the listeners that when Mrs. Armstrong came in and we were discussing what we were going to do on the air, and she was saying that coming on radio and not having been on radio before, she felt a little uptight about the whole situation, and that for you to work the way you work, it's very important that you be relaxed.
Yeah. Relaxation is of the utmost importance.
And you work out of your own den.
That's right. In other words, I prefer to work in my own home where the surroundings are familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's awfully hard, like you have what you call your comfort zone, and everything is just right there. You get outside of that, and it isn't as easy to do.
It's almost like you're saying that the harder you try to make it work, the less it works. That it's more of just a relaxing and letting it happen.
Just letting it happen.
That's interesting. All right. Why don't we do this? Let me take another break here, and let's open up the phone lines for questions from listeners. But these are only questions because, as we've just pointed out, Mrs. Armstrong's not going to try to do a reading on you. She's not going to try to foretell your future or anything like that. But if you have specific questions about the kind of things she does and so on and so forth, we'll take care of those at 982-5517, right? As opposed to, any kind of a reading, because I think she's explained her situation there and the kind of thing that you do, and she's just not prepared to do a reading on you or fortune-telling or whatever. But if you'd like to ask some more questions about what these abilities are and how she works with them, give us a buzz at 982-5517.
A report from Shell. It's a fact that over half the cars on U.S. roads could use an engine tune-up, even though most of them may be running smoothly. It's reported that if they all got one, harmful exhaust emissions would be reduced significantly. Recently, the Shell Oil Company decided to do something about it, and in their advertisements started advising motorists to get a tune-up. And since then, Shell has begun blending something new into their gasolines. It's called TCP2, and what it does is help keep your car's engine in tune. When your engine is in tune, it burns gasoline more completely, so there's less partially burned gasoline left to go out the tailpipe as exhaust emissions. Incidentally, when your engine burns gasoline more completely, mileage should go up. So motorists can use any one of Shell's gasolines to help their car's engine stay in tune. Shell, Super Shell, or non-leaded Shell of the future, all with TCP2 for good mileage and fewer exhaust emissions.
Anybody flying to Las Vegas soon? Use Air West jets every day from the Bay Area to Las Vegas. Jets there from all three Bay Area airports, Oakland, San Jose, and San Francisco International. And nobody else can give you the choice of three airports, and nobody has more flights to Las Vegas. And no airline in North America has been able to beat Hughes Air West in on-time performance. That's right, Hughes Air West has the best on-time record in North America. So when you're thinking about Las Vegas, remember the airline that gives you the choice of three airports. Call a travel agent or Hughes Air West. Mrs. Armstrong, if you pick up that little earphone and put it right to your ear, when I take the calls, you'll be able to hear what people are saying, okay? And let's just punch them up. 982-5517, the number to call if you have a specific question in mind. Yeah, did you have something you'd like to ask?
Anne?
Yes?
Do you believe in guides sending dreams?
I believe in anything that helps you to achieve the sensitive state. If you have to have a guide or if you simply just believe in yourself, I don't care what it is, if it allows you to express there, then use it. Yes. All of these things are possible.
Now, I've gotten dreams that have been sent, and they've been right, But other than that, my development hasn't moved on much, And I was wondering what steps, should I apply myself to now, because the dreams are my only ability right now.
You're saying what is the next logical step?
Mm-hmm.
What comes after that, or what should you expect?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do meditation?
No, because I'm very impatient,
Well, that's the problem.
I can't relax very long.
Well, if you can't relax and if you're very impatient, that is your problem, because you have to get into a very relaxed state and learn to listen. Mm-hmm. Because learning to get instruction from yourself is a problem of communication. The same problem that we have with people. You know, on a personality level, we don't know how to listen. We don't know how to be still. And so if you will develop the ability to be still and to listen, the whole thing will stabilize itself and you will begin to get your own instruction. Now, don't hesitate to ask questions of your guides or in your dream state. In other words, treat it as if it were another more knowledgeable part of you that could give you the answers.
Okay.
Let me take another call. We'll end it there, okay? Because I have some more calls I want to take. Thank you for calling me.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Hi, do you have a question?
Yeah, on this Antonius that she said she relates to.
Right,
yes.
Well, you can talk directly to Anne if you like.
I'm listening.
She can hear you.
Yeah. Did you ever read of this Antonius before you met him?
No, I hadn't.
You had this feeling and then you went and read about him? Or
I didn't read about anything. This is simply the story as I perceived it, the experiences as I perceived it. However, when I had the opportunity to go to Rome about 2.5 or 3 years after this initial experience, I ran into places that I had described as Antonius, and I had a rather violent reaction to many of the places.
But you could have been wrong, though, right? I mean, this is you're just equating what you had with Antonius. If you did have this experience, it doesn't necessarily have to be this Antonius, right?
No, it does. To me, I used it as a vehicle. I'm a better person now, so to me it's not important whether it was real or not. It was a groovy way to get well. It was very creative, and I had lots of fun.
You find yourself comfortable with this image, this Antonius, then?
I found myself comfortable at the time.
Yeah,
that's right. And now it doesn't. Now I really don't know whether it was real or not, and it's really not important.
I see.
It got me to a better place.
Let me ask you. You kind of shied away from the word patient. You call them people or something like this. What do you charge these people for these meetings, whatever goes on?
I don't
on?
Feel that is an appropriate question for right now.
You do this free?
That is not an appropriate question.
I mean, you do make a living at this.
I said these are questions that I prefer not to answer.
Are you writing a book?
No, she's not. Thank you for the call, though, okay? Thank you. Yes, do you have a question?
Yes, I would like to ask two questions of Mrs. Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I have had some experiences myself, and so I have some idea of what you're talking about.
Fine.
The first part of the question is, other than meditation, is there any way to develop the ability to have psychic experiences or intuitive looks at yourself and others? The next part of the question is there a way to overcome self-doubt that you really can do it? Because I know, having had experiences, that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still tend to doubt when I have an intuition that such and such will happen, and I perhaps will not always act on it. And I can't seem to overcome that hurdle.
Well, the first thing you have to do is to begin to trust yourself and to realize that it's just one more experience, and that if you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. And after a while, you get to the place where you are no longer programming doubt or fear, and you'll find that, you know, that you're acting in a very positive and a very accurate way. But really, it's a matter of trial and error. There's no way at the beginning to be absolutely sure, except to have more and more confidence in yourself. You know, the more you practice something,
yes,
the more agile you become. So it's just a matter of trusting yourself and risking. That's really what it takes. For me to tell a person where they're at takes an awful lot of risking on my part to say, this is where you're at, this is what you're like.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Okay.
In other words, you can't expect to be right all
the time,
ever.
No, don't put that heavy trip on you. Just see it as one more thing to try out. Because you are very psychic.
I am, you mean?
You sure are. So, you know, stay with it. Just stay with it.
That answer your question?
I will. Thank
you. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take some more calls in just a moment.
On rare occasions, an exceptional individual appears on the entertainment scene who, by a special magic, perfectly combines the talents of song, dance, and comedy. Such a star is now appearing at the Reno area's favorite theater restaurant, Jonas Quagga's Nugget. That remarkable star is Miss Debbie Reynolds. Yes, Debbie Reynolds is appearing nightly through July 7th at the Nugget in an outstanding show, which also includes the music of Sam Donahue and his orchestra. your reservations now to see Debbie Reynolds by phoning toll-free 800-648-1177 for direct service. It's Debbie Reynolds, nightly at Jonas Quagga's Nugget, the Reno area's largest.
Gene Nelson with my special guest, Mrs. Ann Armstrong. I'll take some more telephone calls if you have some specific questions you'd like to ask in just a moment. You can be as picky as you like about an automobile when you shop at Les Vogel's Chevrolet, because whatever you want, in a beautiful new 71 Chevy, they've got it. From a classic Chevrolet Caprice to a compact little Vega, Les Vogel's Chevrolet suggests you be just as picky as you want, and they'll find the exact Chevy that fits. And when you pick the car of your choice at Les Vogel's Chevrolet, you'll find it's priced right, too. Like a practical Chevy Nova with a radio, just $25.65 at Les Vogel's Chevrolet. And one other thing, Les Vogel's Chevrolet has the highest trade-in allowances you can find anywhere. So why don't you go to Les Vogel's Chevrolet and put them to the test? But go soon, before those great new Chevys are picked over. Les Vogel's Chevrolet at Chevy Island, where Mission Street meets South Van Ness in San Francisco. Les Vogel's Chevrolet and, of course, Leslie Leasing. All right, let's take a couple of more telephone calls. Yeah.
Yeah, there is an organization called Scientology, in which, through a certain process, you're able to get out of your body and see yourself and see other things clearly. I was wondering what credence this organization has with you, and if you do know of it.
Yes, I do know about Scientology. It's just another method to get to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And if it appeals to you, it's right on.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
yeah.
you. Mm-hmm. Hi, do you have a question?
Yeah, this is the first time I've really heard of this, but some of the stuff that you've been talking about is, I've felt it myself. It's, really weird.
You mean about being out of your own body, that kind of thing you're talking about, or?
No, I've had some dreams, that I haven't seen any people or anything, but I've never been to the place before. I see the place just like in the dream,
mm-hmm.
It's just, I can't explain it or anything. I don't know when I had the dream or anything. I try to find out. I just can't, seem to place it. But, I just remember it from somewhere.
Do you have a specific question about that, or?
What's that have to do with the psychic or powers or anything?
Well, you are having a psychic experience. In other words, you are experiencing, like I do in a waking state, you'll be experiencing the same thing in a dream state. It's very possible to do that.
Hold on. You've got a radio turned up there. That's why we're getting all those squeaks.
Sorry.
You can't do that. That's called feedback.
It's
like the microphones down at your local auditorium is what we get if you turn your radio on. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. It's 6 minutes before 10 o'clock. What do you think? Let me talk about Kawasaki. You want to try to do a reading of some kind on me in a minute? You can sit there and relax if you like, and I'll sell you a motorcycle. From your Bay Area Kawasaki dealers. The good thing about a Kawasaki, their whole story when you come right down to it, is that they sell a quality bike with lots of exclusive features that you don't find on other bikes, but it doesn't cost you any more money. It's a Kawasaki with exclusive features like a solid-state ignition system that needs no cleaning and no gaffing. That's called CDI, and that's only on Kawasaki. You can get things like multi-adjustable header forks and adjustable pegs and adjustable rear shocks and a rotary valve two-cycle engine. Those are all exclusives on Kawasaki, and they cost no more money. So why don't you join the guy on a Kawasaki? Join him. See your nearest Bay Area Kawasaki dealer, because he's got a Kawasaki. It won't be unfair to you. It's 5 minutes before 10 o'clock. Mrs. Ann Armstrong is my special guest tonight, psychic from Sacramento, who's driven down tonight to be my guest. We've got time for a couple more calls. You want to take a couple? If anybody has a question of some kind, go ahead.
Hello. You say that you can no longer project your image anymore. I was wondering, if you could, what you would get out of it if you could do it again. If you could do it at will.
I would just like to have the experience again to be able to control it. I don't know what I would get out of it except whatever you get out of any new experience.
Oh, I see. I thought, maybe could you examine yourself a lot closer that way? Or?
I think you could, yes.
I see.
You could take a trip to Europe without having to buy a plane ticket. That's appealing.
How's that?
Okay,
thank you.
Way to go. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hi, do you have a question?
Oh, yes. Am I on the air?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, Ms. Armstrong,
yeah.
A couple of years ago I had a a number of strange experiences that put me in touch with some kind of other intelligence, which I can't really describe at the present time. But anyway, I was working at a club in the Midwest where I introduced magic acts and other types of entertainment, and also told some jokes and did some meditation as part of my act in front of the audience. And one night after I finished my act, I returned to the dressing room and started to undress and put on my clothes, and some people came in and said that disappearing act was just tremendous. I'd never seen anything like it before. And I said, well, what did you mean? I didn't disappear or anything in my act. And they said, but you did. And then I started to have a number of these experiences where I would kind of vanish. And it was weird.
Like teleportation, you mean being another place?
Well, I felt like I would... it was like being in another place. But I wasn't aware. I didn't do anything, see. Uh-huh. I was meditating at the time.
That's right.
But then one morning I woke up and I went to the mirror and I didn't see a reflection of any type.
You didn't see a reflection?
In the mirror, yeah.
Well, you were out of your body. That's why you didn't see a reflection.
Well, I quit the club.
You quit the
club? I was working. I moved out here.
Did you try to contact this intelligence anymore?
No, when I didn't see anything in the mirror, I just decided that I didn't want to...
Forget about that, huh?
Yeah.
Has anything happened to you since the club, or was it only at that club?
It was only at that club in Ohio.
Where in Ohio?
In Toledo.
Oh, really?
And it was just a job, and it was something I was doing at the time, but someone in the paper found out about it there, and they interviewed me, and a very weird thing happened during the interview, but I don't think it would be too believable if I told it on the radio.
All right.
I would rather not.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank
anyway.
You very much.
Okay.
I enjoy the program.
Bye-bye. Edgar Casey once said there were a lot of sympathetic vibrations in Cincinnati, Ohio, for psychic experiences, and maybe a little slopped over to Toledo. It's quite possible. You ever heard anything like that before?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes, I sure have.
That's strange. Okay. That's all the time we have, unfortunately. Mrs. Armstrong, I thank you kindly for coming down, particularly for driving all the way down from Sacramento to be here.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
You're a fascinating lady. You seem to enjoy your role in life.
Yes,
I really do.
I get a big kick out of it. I like people.
Seeing a bunch of free movies.
That's right.
Thank you so much for dropping by. Nice to have had you. You probably know about the Bose 901 stereo speaker system, which has received more rave reviews than any other speaker system before or since. Well, the Bose Corporation has recently come out with a new speaker system. It's called the Bose 501, which at $124.60 is said to rival the sound of the Bose 901, only it's cheaper. The Bose 501 is a direct reflecting system featuring a 10-inch bass speaker, and it's worth listening to if it's realistic stereo sound reproduction you're after. For a limited time only, Pacific Stereo will allow you 120% of the normal trade-in value of your current used bookshelf speakers in trade toward the Bose 501. The only catch is that 120% of the normal trade-in value must come to less than the selling price for the Bose 501. You understand all that? It's always a very confusing sentence to try to get across. Well, go into Pacific Stereo and they'll explain what they mean. What they're trying to tell you is that you can't bring in your old speaker and then get a new speaker plus money. You follow that? They'll give you the new speaker on it's a trade-in thing. That's the whole explanation. That's at Pacific Stereo in Berkeley, San Francisco, San Mateo, Walnut Creek, and Mountain View. Open till 9 weekdays, till 5 on Saturdays and Sundays. 10 o'clock, KSFO San Francisco. I'm Gene Nelson. Thanks again to Mrs. Armstrong for being a guest tonight. Herb Kennedy reports what's new.
KSFO News. At least 70,000 workers are on strike in western states in a series of major disputes. The walkout shutting down Pacific Coast ports, crippling the copper industry, and curtailing big construction projects. Dozens of small labor disputes also erupted throughout the West. There are five major strikes. The largest involves 36,000 copper workers in Nevada, Arizona, Utah, Montana, New Mexico, affecting eight companies. The second largest walkout by 15,000 members of the International Longshoremen's and Warehousemen's Union, shutting down all Pacific Coast ports. In other labor disputes, they're affecting about 45 Mill Valley employees, Northern California carpenters and tunnel workers, the bus drivers who make the run back and forth from the downtown terminal to the airport, union painters, sheet metal workers, and the Safeway Stores grocery warehouse in Richmond. The United Farm Workers Organizing Committee says it's resuming its boycott of table grapes. The reason, a shipment of non-union grapes out of Arizona fields. The grape boycott was suspended last year following the signing of contracts with major Delano growers. A vote is due tomorrow morning on a compromise state budget. Finally agreed on this afternoon, the size of the measure is $7.33 billion. Angela Davis and Rochelle McGee will be allowed to confer three times with the Soledad brothers. The conferences approved in San Rafael by Superior Judge Richard Arneson, who's hearing pretrial motions in the Davis case. Ms. Davis's attorneys say conferences with them are essential to her defense. Attorney General Evel Younger is endorsing a task force study that recommends against legalizing off-track betting and casino-type gambling in California.
We believe it's fraught with actual and potential problems of considerable magnitude so far as law enforcement is concerned, both of these activities.
The New York Times says it will continue publishing its series on the Pentagon Papers, despite a request from Secretary of State William Rogers to halt the presses in the interests of national security. Rogers had said earlier that State Department representatives would even help identify documents harmful to the national security.
The government has recognized the need to review past classification practices, to establish procedures to reduce secrecy in government, and more promptly to release information to the public and the Congress.
Presidential News Secretary Ron Ziegler says the Nixon administration is giving careful study to the Viet Cong's new peace plan, but making clear what he says the U.S. will accept no arrangement that will turn the 17 million people of South Vietnam over to the communists. However, Senate doves are threatening to reintroduce legislation aimed at cutting off funds for the war unless President Nixon accepts the terms. More news in a moment.
So many people come to AFCO Financial Services for consolidation loans. When you believe in people, the word gets around.
When you believe in people, the word gets around.
At AFCO Financial Services, we think a consolidation loan should be the end of your debt worry, not the beginning. So when we loan you the money to pay off your old bill, we not only help you get out of debt, but stay out of debt as well. AFCO believes in people. So when you come into AFCO, you come into money. Because if you deserve the credit, at AFCO you get it. Call us. We're in the phone book. AFCO Financial Services.
When you believe in people,
KSFO Sports reports in baseball in the National League. The San Francisco Giants defeated the St. Louis Cards 8-7. Los Angeles beat San Diego 2-1. Atlanta down Montreal 7-3. Pittsburgh shut out the New York Mets 3-0. Cincinnati topped Philadelphia 5-1. In the American League, Washington defeated the New York Yankees 3-1. Boston edged Detroit 8-7. Cleveland down Baltimore 3-2. The Chicago White Sox over Milwaukee, 6-4. The local weather forecast calls for fair skies through Saturday, except for the usual fog along the coast, extending inland tomorrow morning. Overnight temperatures in the 50s, tomorrow's highs in the 60s along the coast to the 70s inland. In the Sierra, fair and warmer through Saturday. And that's KSFO News. Herb Kennedy reporting. KSFO News is everywhere. Now a special report from Larry Diggs.
By the latter half of the 18th century, the American Indian had been squeezed onto tiny reservations, which were more like prisons when you consider the extremely hostile society around him and the fact that he was once free to roam both the North and South American continents if he wished. But the treachery of the white man did not stop there. It seemed that the white man was determined to take every square inch of land, treaties or no treaties.
Up to 1870 or 80, something like that, the Indians lost the land through conquest largely. They sometimes made treaties and they sometimes didn't, but military force was the main thing. Between about 1880 and 1935, they lost a vast amount of land through acts of Congress, just taking it away from them.
Richard Collins, one of the attorneys for the California American Indians, went on to give an example of how Congress went about stealing land from the Indians.
The biggest legal method was the so-called Dawes Act, D-A-W-E-S. It was passed in 1887, and then a lot of auxiliary laws were passed between 1887 and 1920. And the theory of the Dawes Act was that we had to civilize the Indian by making him a farmer, because that was the only civilized thing to be, of course. And so we will take each reservation and we'll count the Indian families and we'll give each one an allotment to farm that's big enough for him to farm. And then we'll just give all the rest of the land to white homesteaders because the Indians don't need it.
Richard then explained how the screwdriver of the Dawes Act worked.
They'd pass out the land to the Indians as farmers, and after 25 years, the Indians could sell it. And the Indians weren't farmers. They didn't know how to farm, with the exception of those Indians who historically had been farmers. Most Indians had not been farmers. The government didn't provide them with any assist in farming, like giving them tools and training in farming. They just said, this is your farm, go at it, for the most part. And so that was a failure.
If history teaches us anything, it was probably meant to be a failure, because three-fourths of the land that the Indians were left with after the fighting had ceased was taken away by acts of Congress. And don't forget the tricky land speculators. They are still at work. As I said yesterday, the question really isn't a legal one, but rather a moral one. Tomorrow, we will deal with the morality of our attitude toward the American Indian. Can you dig it? This is Larry Diggs.
Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you marriage ring and a pomegranate, do I? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and pear and I love your hair. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you each side. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything, everything, everything. Come on to my house.
Rosemary Clooney, a million seller from 1951, Come On to My House. This is the hour that I devote to a particular year every week. And this week, we're into the year 1951, which was a good year for me. I don't know how you did that year. And I'll be spotlighting some of the records of that year. And also, along the way, during the hour, I'll have a couple of quizzes that deal with some of the big news stories and some of the people who made the news in 1951. If you can answer those quizzes correctly, I've got some prizes to give away.
All of my life I've been waiting, thinking my chance would be dropped in my hand. But now I know better. You've got to get up and do it while you can. I'm gonna get me a piece of this life. It's all out there and it's waiting for me. I'm gonna get me a piece of this life. this life, wait and see. Wait and see.
You've got to get it for yourself. The same way Bush goes out to get the best barley and hops, then lets the in-brewed carbonation develop naturally. Bush, it's out there waiting for you.
Bush does it like no other beer.
Ramsey Lewis out of his new album, We've Only Just Begun, 15 past 10 o'clock. I'd like to thank Mrs. Ann Armstrong again for being my guest tonight. Something I should explain about Mrs. Armstrong, she was very reluctant to do a reading on anyone or to do a reading about me on the air, and there were a couple of reasons behind that, which I will explain to you, because a lot of people think, well, see there, she can't do that. The reason she didn't want to do a reading, there were two things. She didn't feel that comfortable on the radio, and as she was trying to explain, she has to have everything going for her. She feels much more comfortable in her own den. And this was a very unnatural surrounding, and she hadn't been on the radio before. and was not feeling that relaxed about it. But the second thing that she told me when we got off the air with the interview is that she didn't want to take a chance of doing a reading on me on the air because she said she didn't know what kind of things would come out. And some of them might be kind of embarrassing if she were to reveal certain things about me and my life to my audience, that maybe some of those things I wouldn't want you to know or to have them made public. And she didn't feel she could do a reading if, while thoughts were popping into her mind, she had to keep editing to determine what she could talk about and what she couldn't. Gee, I wonder how she found out about that.
We at Chevrolet call Chevelle a lot of car. For good reasons. We put a lot of things into it. More, in fact, than other cars at its price. Full coil suspension, for one. A big coil spring at every wheel. It's tough on bumps, easy on you. There are inner fenders that help protect the outer fenders. The fuel evaporation control system helps keep excess fumes from getting in the air. A rugged steel beam built into each door to give added protection. And our anti-theft steering lock. Your front wheels can't turn until it's unlocked. That's just five things. We could talk about Body by Fisher and the rest, but we think the point is made. Chevelle is a lot of car. And you said so, too, by making it America's most popular mid-sized car. By the way, it's at your Chevy dealers now. And here's an idea you can live with from Chevrolet.
What?
Buckle both your seat and shoulder belts.
Oh, 17 past 10 on KSFO with Gene Nelson. Also, a couple of people called and felt badly about the guy who was giving Mrs. Armstrong a hard time. He was rather impolite in one respect, but on another, I don't blame him. There are a lot of doubting Thomases about extrasensory perception, and it stands to reason. You know, we believe in logic, all of us, and it's not a very logical subject. Talking about people leaving their bodies and all that kind of stuff, that's not logical. And a lot of people, you know, really poo-poo the whole thing. My feeling is I find a lot of it hard to believe, too, to tell you the truth, but I find it a very fascinating subject, and I have an open mind on the subject. No one has proven to me that it doesn't exist, and no one has really proven that it does either. I'm really open on the subject. My feeling has always been that when it comes to the human brain, we already know that the human brain is one of the most intricate instruments that's ever known. There's never been a computer made like that. And we also know that we all just use a fraction of one small percent of our brain's power. So who am I to say what could happen if somebody could use twice the brain power that I can use, or 25%? Who knows what they would be capable of, and that's why I keep an open mind on the subject. At long last, up here on Knob Hill, there's a fabulous restaurant that serves good food just about any time you're hungry. It's the Mexican restaurant. It's on the lobby floor of the Fairmont Hotel. It's just a great place to dine. The food is so good. And the service is informal, and by that I mean there's not a lot of waiters standing around with towels over their arms dressed in tuxedos, which is all right if you like that kind of a restaurant, but the Mexican restaurant is not. It's very informal. It's girls dressed in little Mexican costumes, which is kind of neat. Food is good. Prices are reasonable. The hours couldn't be more convenient. They're open 7 days a week, from 7 in the morning until 2 the following morning. Sundays, they're open from 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. So if you're out on the town, you're looking for a good place to eat, be it lunch or dinner or a little snack after the theater, you make it to the Mexican restaurant in the Fairmont Hotel. Number to call for reservations, 982-2355. Another 1951 hit with the Weavers.
I got to thinking over what I had missed. I got me a girl, I kissed her and then, oh Lord, I kissed her again.
Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine.
Wife, and we would be so happy all of our life. He begged and he pleaded like a natural man, and then, oh Lord, I gave him my